Highway travel delays in urban areas now total more than 2 billion hours annually, costing billions of dollars in lost working hours and economic production. 21 primary airports in this country now experience more than 20,000 hours of annual flight delays. And by the year 1997, the number will grow to 33. Against this backdrop, and at the direction of the President, 10 months ago, we began our national transportation policy development process. We went out to the American people in more than 100 public meetings all over this country. In essence, what we heard was a call for improved transportation system, a system with greater capacity and a sound financial base, a system that supports our national goals in the areas of safety, national security, environmental protection, and accessibility for all. What we heard from the American people all over this country almost echoed the words I heard from President Bush when he said, "We are ready to make an investment in America's future. An investment in transportation is an investment in our nation's future, our economy, and our jobs." The national transportation policy we unveil today provides a strategic framework for that investment of time, of money, and of commitment. It shapes the movement of passengers and goods in the 1990s and beyond. Simply put, the policy emphasizes doing the right things with our limited resources, focusing on systems of national significance and promoting national priorities, improving mobility, improving the efficient movement of goods, providing jobs, and improving the quality of life for all Americans. We deliberately structured the policy to be intermodal in nature, driven by the freedom of the marketplace and focused on moving America toward a transportation system that promotes U.S. competitiveness both at home and abroad. It is a long-range strategy that with guidelines that emphasize increased private sector transportation investment and job-producing economic growth. This document is not the conclusion of a project, but the beginning of a new era and an ongoing process. It has given us a long-term vision for the future and short-term decision-making framework for major initiatives. Among the 169 guidelines and 65 legislative objectives in the policy are long-term goals that will help to preserve transportation facilities currently in place and expand essential capacity. We want to close the gap in the transportation network, to promote effective connections between rural and urban areas, between ports and inland points, and between modes. And we also want to maintain the integrity of the trust funds and ensure that all transportation user fees are spent for their intended purpose, for investments to improve transportation. And finally, the policy provides greater flexibility for state and local governments to raise revenues. For example, collecting tolls on highways and encouraging greater public and private investment in transportation. The policy supports certain goals. We must pursue the continued deregulation of the trucking industry, something the President has been so supportive on when he was Vice President, and strive for uniformity of state regulations. We must remove inequitable labor requirements that limit productivity in the railroad industry, in aviation safety, in highway safety, boating safety, and in the transportation of hazardous materials and petroleum products. The policy ensures that our number one priority will continue to be safety. Ours is a policy that encourages the continued growth of a new industry, commercial space, while at the same time seeking ways to breathe new life into the once mighty maritime industry that has been met on such hard times by reforming federal regulatory requirements. In my mind, there is no question that improved transportation will improve our productivity as a nation, that an investment in infrastructure is an investment in jobs. And frankly, government can't shy from competition either. We must move forward. We must be prepared to compete globally. We must begin to export technology instead of importing it. And we must invest in infrastructure. And we must think and plan strategically in government just as they do in the private sector. This process is through its first phase. I've had the cooperation, Mr. President, of people throughout this country. I'm delighted to say that we're through the first quarter. I was going to say the first few innings, but knowing your feelings about baseball, I think I'll refrain. We're through the first quarter of this game. We've got three more quarters to go, but I want you to know that we've got a great first step in meeting your objective, and we've done it basically in less than a year.
Sam, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Sam, thank you very, very much. And to Under Deputy Secretary Elaine Chao and to our able Commandant of the Coast Guard and to Dr. Larson, who did such a heroic work on all of this, thank you all for being here, Governor. So many members of Congress here. And as some of you may know, after Sam Skinner, our able Secretary of Transportation, became secretary. He took time to earn a license as a jet pilot. I've wondered, if I'd named him Secretary of Agriculture, would he have been out milking the cows? But nevertheless, here he is. But his leadership derives from experience, and it's experience and solid analysis that has shaped this transportation policy that we're unveiling today. No sector is more important to the American economy than transportation. It's an $800 billion a year business with $5 trillion worth of assets. To say that it's important to our quality of life, the flow of commerce, and really to our national security is a gross understatement. As world trade grows even larger, as we continue our leadership in an increasingly global society, we will become even more dependent on transportation than we are today. And when transportation lags or is congested, when people and goods are stranded in traffic or in airports, we'll suffer. And when people and goods flow through a responsive, well-maintained, and efficient transportation system, our quality of life improves with it. For over 200 years, since the days of barges and riverboats, America has grown and prospered with our transportation system. Our competitive stake will depend no less on American transportation leadership in the future. And still, too often, we take for granted the highways that bind America together and the airports and harbors that bind America to the world. The institutions of our forebears created, the technologies they developed, and the transportation systems they built created a new and mobile society, far different from the life they knew. For example, as a young man, Dwight David Eisenhower had a vision of a nation united, of an America in which goods and people would flow from city to city, from state to state, with great ease. And the vision of his youth became the reality of his presidency. Today, Eisenhower's vision of an interstate highway system, the most ambitious public works project in the history of man, is virtually complete, a fitting tribute in this, his centennial year. Just as the Model T and the Kitty Hawk prepared the way for today's millions of cars and thousands of passenger jets, so it is now our turn to invest in America's future, to begin to create the transportation system of the 21st century. On the ground, over the waterways, and in the air and space, our mission for this decade and the next century is to build on our achievements, to link the nations of the world as we've linked the states of this great country. The national transportation is our blueprint, if you will, for this new world. And as I said in the State of the Union last month, it's time to act, and it's time to give our state and local governments the flexibility that they need to best use federal funds. We also have a strategy for airports and for removing economic regulation of the trucking industry. You heard the Secretary talk about those. And most of all, we have a strategy to unleash the creative genius of American technology. This technology took us to the moon, and now it must make travel to space economical and commonplace. And this genius built a network of highways, and now we must support and encourage advanced technologies in the whole field of transportation. From magnetically levitated trains to intelligent vehicles and highways to advanced materials and engineering. And finally, sometimes the best transportation policy means not moving people, but moving their work.
Last week in Los Angeles, I spoke of the growing trend in this country toward working outside the office, a trend known as telecommuting. Millions have already found their productivity actually increases when they work nearer the people they're really working for, their families at home. And the benefits in reducing congested highways and mass transit are obvious. Think of it as commuting to work at the speed of light. As we look ahead, it's not enough to have a partnership between federal, state, and local government. We must have the dynamic fourth partner, and that's where many of you fit in, the private sector. Such a partnership has already built a transportation system that is the envy of the world, and if we work together in this joint venture, America can continue to be the world leader in transportation. I'm delighted to be with you. I want to congratulate the officials from the Department of Transportation, and now let's go to work. Thank you all very, very much.